Good morning. God's peace to all you. I want to take just a couple seconds to thank you, Ty, for everything you do. When there's a little hiccup, then we notice you. But week after week, he's up there doing the projector and all the sound and everything, and we really appreciate it. So thank you, Ty. So this morning is the second Sunday after Pentecost, and we have a very interesting lesson, gospel lesson for this morning. We're going to be looking at two very important happenings in the life of Jesus, and they show very powerfully the great mercy and compassion of Jesus. And they also show us two great examples of faith by two individuals. And so our text is, as Mark said, from the Gospel of Matthew, the same chapter that we heard the scripture reading from. We're going to be a little bit later in that chapter, of chapter 9 of Matthew. And as we go through this, we're going to see how mercy and faith are very closely related to each other. That's what we'll see as we go through this. And I do want to give you greetings of grace and mercy and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we will read the sermon text from Matthew chapter 9. And I do hope that, are we good to go? Is it on the projector? Okay. So we'll read from Matthew chapter 9. We begin our reading with verse 18. And we read through verse 24. Is it? Yeah. 26, sorry. I should know this. Okay. And I will ask if you would stand for the reading of the gospel lesson. And while he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went throughout all that district. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Dear gracious Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So as I said, we've already heard from this chapter, chapter 9. The scripture reading that we heard, the Pharisees and, first of all, Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees had an issue with this. Jesus had just called Matthew. He said, "Follow me." And then, as we know, Matthew was a tax collector. And so Jesus goes and he eats in a house with Matthew and with other sinners and tax collectors. And the Pharisees have an issue with this. And they said, "Why is your master eating with sinners and with tax collectors?" And it's Jesus' response to them that sets up the context for our sermon text. His response is, that the healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And then he said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is incredibly merciful. Jesus has a lot of mercy. And that's what he's telling them. He had just gotten through telling them to go and learn what this means. He told the Pharisees, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And now more than just telling them what mercy is and telling them that he desires mercy, in our sermon text here, Jesus is going to show them what mercy is. He's going to demonstrate it for them. And that's what these happenings do. And so there's two, it's kind of interesting, there's two individuals that come to play here in our text. It's like these two stories are intertwined in an interesting way. So Jesus is, he's still with this group of people eating. And this ruler comes in, this ruler of the synagogue. In the Gospel of Luke, it tells us his name. His name is Jairus. And he has this daughter who was 12 years old. That's what Luke also tells us. But anyway, he's a ruler of the synagogue, and he comes in to Jesus, and he kneels before him. He kneels before Jesus. Now, this is important because he's a ruler. You know, rulers aren't used to kneeling. And actually, it wasn't just like kneeling, taking a knee. This kind of kneeling is like bowing right down and really in a posture of worship. That's what this ruler is doing. And so he's showing that Jesus is more important. Jesus actually has more power than him. He needs Jesus. He needs the mercy of Jesus. And he has this problem. His daughter died. It shows us that death affects everybody. None of us are immune from death or immune to death. Doesn't matter if we're a ruler of a synagogue or if we're a pastor of a church or if we're a government official, nothing. None of that matters. Death happens to everybody. And it happened this day to this ruler's daughter. And he comes to Jesus for help. He comes to the one who has power over death, Jesus. He comes to Jesus. He does this kneeling, like prostrates himself before Jesus. And then he says, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Lay your hand on her. The healing touch of Jesus. Jesus only needs to touch and he can heal. I remember when I was a little kid, we used to play with, we had these slippers that when you drag your feet on the carpet floor, you get static electricity built up in you, and then you could go and you could touch people and it would zap them. We used to do that as little kids. And I think of this, of how Jesus, that's how he heals. He has this power where it's just like, boom, he touches and it transfers his power, his life actually into those that he touches. He doesn't zap them like we do, but that power of Jesus, it's that instant. It just, with his laying on of his hand, it transfers. And so this ruler, he comes, he's looking for this healing touch of Jesus. He wants him to come to his house to heal his daughter. This is a very strong example of faith. This ruler, he shows this, and this is an example for all of us to follow, that we come to Jesus. The lesson here is very simple. Come to Jesus with your problems. Come boldly to Jesus with your problem. Trust that he is able to help you. This man, he had no doubt in either Jesus' ability to help or his willingness to help. He knew that Jesus was both willing and able to help him. This is what faith does. Faith looks to Jesus and trusts that he is willing and able to help us with our problem. And what do we see? Jesus arose. He arose and he followed. He went with this man. Jesus made this man's problem his problem. He didn't tell him to schedule an appointment or come back some other time when it's more convenient, but he made himself immediately available to this man. A lot of times we don't do that. We all have people that call us when we see their name coming up on our phones. We go, oh, great, you know, they're calling. They're going to want something from me. And we'll probably make an excuse, or we're not immediately available, or maybe we just won't answer the call. But that's not how Jesus is. Jesus, he went with this man immediately. He wanted to help him. And as Jesus was on the way to help this man, another person comes into our story. It's a woman. And she has a problem too. She has a very personal, a very private problem. A problem that I think you women here can relate to more than us men. She has this issue of blood. And she's had it for 12 years. She's had this. This is a big problem for her. The reason it's a big problem is because it affected her life in a big way. It made her unclean. This is a Jewish woman. It made her ceremonially unclean. According to the Jewish law in Leviticus, it tells us that if somebody has this discharge of blood, that they have to remain unclean. And it put heavy restrictions on her life. There were certain things she couldn't do. And probably the most important thing that she couldn't do was she couldn't be in the presence of God. That is, she couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't go there. For 12 years. She touched Jesus. Think about this. She touched Jesus. This is a very bold act of faith. She wasn't allowed to be in God's presence. She wasn't even allowed to go to the temple. Yet she sneaks up and she touches God. She touches the hem of his garment. She knew that Jesus was able to heal her. She knew that he had power to heal her. And the amazing thing is that the reason you couldn't touch anyone, or these people had to be unclean, they didn't want to get anything else unclean. That's why she had to isolate herself. Well, rather than her touching Jesus and getting Jesus dirty with her infirmity, the opposite thing happens. Jesus' cleanness spread to her. Jesus' cleanness spreads. That's the only place you're ever going to find that happening. Cleanness spreading. Usually it's the other way around. If you have dirty hands and you start touching something that's white, it's going to get dirty. Your hand doesn't get more clean when you touch something clean. Except for with Jesus. Jesus has so much power over sin and over uncleanness that his cleanness, his purity, actually spreads. And it spread to this woman. Unlike the man who was struck by a tragedy, like a sudden thing that happened, his daughter died, this woman had an issue that was chronic. It took place over a long period of time. It was happening to her day after day. Week after week, month after month, year after year, she had this issue she was dealing with. We have problems that are chronic too. We have issues, sometimes they're health issues, like cancer or heart disease, diabetes. These are all major health issues that we deal with that can be chronic and ongoing. Sometimes we have relationship issues, like hurt, bitterness, or anger. These are things that they keep going. They happen over a period of time. Sometimes there's addiction issues that we have, drugs or alcohol or lust. These are things that affect us over and over again and over a period of time. But the lesson here with Jesus helping this woman who had this issue of blood for 12 years, for this long time, the lesson for us here is that Jesus has mercy for long-term problems too. If you have a long-term problem, Jesus has mercy for you. Jesus is able to help you. And Jesus looks at her and he tells her, "Your faith has made you well." A lot of times we make faith something that's all about us. And we wonder about our faith. We say, is my faith strong enough? Am I believing enough? You know, and we start to examine ourselves in that way. We go looking inside of ourselves, really, to find if our faith is good enough. But the lesson here from this woman is, don't do that at all. You don't need to look at yourself and try to validate yourself and validate your own faith, but just look to Jesus. That's what faith does. Faith's object is Jesus. And that's all she did. She looked to Jesus, she trusted in Jesus, and that's what made her faith so powerfully. Her faith was so powerful because she looked to Jesus. Her faith was placed in the right place. It was placed in Jesus. In a very real way, she cast herself at the mercy of Jesus. She was at his mercy. And what better place is there than to cast yourself at the mercy of Jesus? Because Jesus is full of mercy. You can see the relationship between mercy and faith. Faith is what grabs hold of the mercy of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, and his willingness and ability to help us. Now, Jesus tells her that your faith has made you well, and instantly the woman is made well. It's just that simple. Just, it happened. Jesus made her well because she trusted in Jesus. And then the story continues. Jesus then, that happened on the way to the ruler's house, and now Jesus gets to the ruler's house. This ruler who had the daughter who had died. He gets to the house, and there's quite a scene there. When he gets there, there's flute players, and there's crowds of people, and there's a big commotion. There's lots of stuff happening. This is a house of mourning. This is our equivalent of a wake or a funeral. That's what's happening here. And Jesus does something very, very bold and very amazing. Jesus goes into this house of mourning, into this funeral, and he tells the hired flute players and the hired mourners to go away. He says, go away. That's amazingly bold that Jesus can do this kind of thing. His boldness shows his power over death. That he has absolute power over this situation. And he tells them very forcefully that she is not dead, she's sleeping. He has power to wake her up, is what he's saying. He can make her alive again. Death is something he has the power over. And so Jesus, he sends them out. And they, of course, laugh at him. You know, this is totally strange, totally unusual. Nothing that has ever happened before. Jesus sends them outside. He says, go away. And when they are put outside, it shows us that Jesus alone has the ability to help in this situation. They were all put outside because Jesus has entered, and Jesus alone will be he will help for this situation. He has power over death. He takes her by the hand. Again, remember the ruler, he wanted Jesus to touch his daughter. Jesus does. He takes her by the hand, and life flows from Jesus into this girl. Her heart begins to beat again. Breath comes into her lungs, and she becomes alive again. And she gets up. She simply gets up. Jesus makes her alive. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Those are Jesus' own words. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus gives life to this girl. And because of this, this word spreads throughout the whole area around there. And this alone is an amazing thing. The word spreads throughout that whole town. And I was thinking of it that the gospel is local news. The gospel is not national news. Local news is the news that you read about your community, about things that affect your life. National news is like, or international news is the news that is like detached from you. It's like things that you're not really all that concerned about, and things that you can easily detach yourself from. But the gospel is not that way. The gospel spreads from home to home, from person to person, from heart to heart. People speak about what they've experienced about Jesus Christ, what he's done for them. And it becomes a local news that this is something that it's like, oh, so-and-so is a Christian. So-and-so has, Jesus has forgiven them. Jesus has helped them. And so the gospel spread. It spread throughout that whole region, and it spread even to the furthest parts of the earth, and spread even to us. And so it still is today that we preach the gospel. It's not some message that's abstract or that it's some faraway message. But this is a very local message we have to share. That Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus is merciful. And so, dear friends, dear sinners, the mercy of Jesus is something that you can have faith in. You can cast yourself at the mercy of Jesus. Just like this woman, or just like this man. Because Jesus, he is incredibly merciful, and he is incredibly able to help you with whatever your situation is. In Jesus' name, amen.